Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Five books reviewed in 5 minutes. It's the best book ever this week. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the best book ever this week. I'm Matthew Winner, elementary school librarian, author of the Busy Librarian blog, and host of the Let's Get Busy podcast, here with five books reviewed in 5 minutes. No script, no rehearsal, no lip service. Publishers send me books to review, and I share my thoughts with you. First up, allow me to please break form. Today I'm going to share with you 6 books, all sent from the same publisher, Tan Tan Publishing, which is a new imprint, bringing us stories originally published in Korea and now translated for our U.S. audience. And these are stories that incorporate math concepts, something that is really attractive to me coming from the classroom myself and being in the elementary school currently. The first story is Ruffer's Birthday Party, written by Sunjae Shin and illustrated by Min Jung Kim. In this story, a dog and a girl, and I guess her cat as well, are getting ready for a birthday party for the dog, Ruffer. And she wants to bake a cake, but needs certain items from the store, needs to make sure she has enough of everything to be able to make enough food for everyone to be able to enjoy at the party. And so we are dealing here with not only adding simple numbers together and subtracting single-digit numbers, but we are also counting different groups of people that are going to attend. We're looking at calendar dates that are coming up. This story perhaps is a little bumpy when it comes to working in the math as well as the story, but I think that it gets across that concept. When I'm at a grocery store, when I'm planning a party, these are things that I need to stop and think when I'm adding things together. So while it does break up the flow of the story, I think it's completely necessary and appropriate for the concepts trying to be conveyed here. And I like the art too. Just a nice sort of cartoon style characters in the story where the girl and her dog are sort of talking through what do we need, where are we going to buy the things, and how much is it going to cost us. So I enjoy this book a lot. It's called Ruffer's Birthday Party. The second book is A Day at Grandma's, and that's written by Mae Lee and illustrated by Yang Suk Choi. And in this story, we're looking at time passing, specifically throughout the course of one day. In the story, a girl is at her grandparents' house and is about to come home that day, and she's away from her mom, who is, in this story, again, missing her, and is talking about, oh, this is what we normally do during this time of the day, and I'm sure you're having fun with your grandmother. And it passes through all of those times of day, from morning, or from dawn, to morning, to noon, to afternoon, to dusk, and night. And the illustrations are beautiful. We see the rising and the setting sun. The colors are, it feels just sort of washed beautifully together. There's not really any hard lines in these illustrations. The colors just, as sunlight does, blend softly together. And in this story, it is very story-driven and highlights the different times of day, and also makes little notes at the bottom of every other page or so, talking about the way that we can encourage our students or the child we're reading to notice the things going on with day around them. It's A Day at Grandma's. Book 3 is called Could You Lift Up Your Bottom? It's written by Hee Jung Chung and illustrated by Sung Hwa Chung. And a frog loses his hat underneath the bottom of an elephant. And so he keeps asking elephant to move, and elephant is very hungry and says, "I'm not going to move until you bring me some food." And in this case, actually, elephant wants food that's shaped different ways. I want something that's round and tasty. I want something that's triangular. And so we're exploring basic shapes through the means of an animal demanding food until the frog eventually tricks the elephant to get up. There's some nice paint and collage work in this story. The elephant looks kind of funny with like a corrugated cardboard nose and these cutout ears and sort of washers or metal pins for eyes. I like it. It's something really attractive to look at. I've read it to my kindergarten and first graders. They really thought it was funny too and just kind of kept groaning every time elephant demanded new food. That's "Could You Lift Up Your Bottom?" Book number 4 is called The Flying Birds, and it's written by Yun-san Han and illustrated by Jukyong Kim. This book has, I think, by far of this set, the most beautiful illustrations. They're just something that's striking about them. The colors are very, I don't know, earthy, woodsy tones. They're sort of darker colors, gray, muddled colors, and it's something that I really was drawn to. In this story, a man is building birdhouses for all the birds in his backyard tree, and the more birdhouses he builds, the more birds come to live there. And so he builds we're exploring, by the way, multiplication here. So we're looking at we have two houses, and each house can hold two birds, so 2 times 2 equals 4. And it also breaks down the math too, that 2 times 2 is the same as 2 plus 2, things like that. But as we go further and further into this, we have birdhouses with room for one bird, birdhouses with room for up to 6 birds, and we're combining all of that together and then seeing more and more birds in the pictures and all different species. And it's, again, it's really, really beautiful to look at. It was something that I found myself forgetting about the math and losing myself in the story. And that's where I feel like we're really, when a math book or a math concept book is at its best, it's when you forget the math or it's worked in seamlessly, as math should be in our natural lives, that we should just know that it's something we encounter and it's a tool we use to solve problems. That book is called The Flying Birds. Book number 5 is Math at the Art Museum. And this, of these 6 books, is the most straightforward let's talk about a math concept in the story. A family, a mom, dad, son, and daughter go to an art museum, and they explore different classical works of art, talking about different art and specifically math concepts as we go through it, looking at geometric shapes, looking at numerals, looking at symmetry, and also they show the image of the art, of the painting, of the mural in some cases. And then on the partnered side page, we have the children or the family actually painted as in that style, using the geometric shapes or things like that. I really liked how straightforward this was, talking about art and observation. So I think that this was very appropriate to be straightforward with the math concepts in this book. It does give little tips at the bottom of each page or every other page talking about some of the background of the artists. And it's something that I think would work well in the math classroom or the art classroom, or we have field trips going all the time to art museums, and this would be a wonderful way to introduce kids to that. It's called Math at the Art Museum. But my best book ever this week in this set is called Who Eats First? And it's written by Ahe Yun and illustrated by Haiwan Yang. Who Eats First is a wonderful sort of trickster story about comparing and sorting and measuring. And we have this great juicy peach, and there are 6 different animals that want to get the first bite. There's a giraffe, there's a caterpillar, there's an alligator, a monkey, a rabbit, and a rhinoceros. And each one wants to be the one to eat first. And so they do it by saying, "I should eat first because I'm the biggest," or "I should eat first because I'm the heaviest. I should eat first because I'm the one with the biggest mouth or the longest ears." And each time we're seeing these animals line up by size, of biggest to smallest, heaviest to lightest, largest mouth to smallest. And in the end, there's a trick in it that causes one animal to be the clear winner. And there's just something about the way that this is a natural story, the way that this just makes sense in conversation with kids, but also the beautiful watercolor illustrations that have nice texture built into them and were just so beautiful to look at. That's why I'm calling Who Eats First by Ai Yun Yun and illustrated by Ha Won Yang, the best book ever this week. Way to go. And thank you, Tenten Publishing, for sending me such great books. I really enjoyed these books. Well, that was six books reviewed in a little over 5 minutes. I hope you enjoyed this special segment of the Let's Get Busy podcast, and I look forward to bringing you five more books reviewed in the future. As always, you can find the books reviewed in this episode in the episode show notes, along with the names of their authors, illustrators, and publishers. Check them out at your local library or independent bookstore. And I do hope you have a great week. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.